It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I know, yeah, we're still here. We're still employed. I know after last Saturday you thought this was it, but we somehow stumbled through that. Last Saturday was the opening day of teal season. We did basically a live remote from the duck blind. One of the best opening days we've had for a long, long time. We were way, way past due. We had a good harvest on the teal. We got six teal as your limit. There were three of us. We had 18 teal probably within 45 minutes to an hour. And went back the next morning, shot another limit, and then since then it's kind of demised. But other than that, they get smart. These ducks don't like being shot at. In the studio with me, we've got a great show lined up here for you today. Of course, my co-host Mark Tobin is in here with has this foam dripping off of his mouth. I don't understand that every morning. But we have Roger Sigler here, and we're going to talk to you about antler dogs.
Yeah, cool.
Antler dogs?
Yeah.
We need to get a portable set of antlers put on my dog. Yell at me somebody shooting.
Yeah, look like a little reindeer.
This dog of mine has gone completely off the scale.
Was he out teal hunting with you?
Oh, yeah. The first hour was an embarrassment. It, this dog, I mean, he just got, he's 3 years old, and man, I mean, he's off one side of the 40 and back to the other before you can blink your eye, you know. But after about an hour, he was in the groove, so he kind of straightened out just a little bit, so what the hey. Mark, you been doing any fishing?
No, I was not.
You seem confused this morning, are you?
Well,
okay?
I want to get a set of headphones for our guests.
We'll get Roger's headphones. That's the least of our problems. Right. We'll get him going here in a little bit. So, what the hey? You know, we got people going back and forth here in the studio. We're usually kind of organized, Roger. I know you're sitting here going, huh?
The show started. It just kind of crept up on us here.
Yeah, it did.
Kind of quick.
Opening day of deer season. And for archery people here in Missouri, I stop on the way down, get gas. I never saw so many green people running around the face of the earth, you know, had their little green outfits on. And the deer, you know darn good and well, had a meeting this morning and said, hey, guys, come here, come here, come here, come here. There's going to be little green fellows running around shooting sharp objects. A lot of them set up in trees. Watch them. Keep them under surveillance on the deal, so. What the hey? I am starting to see some splattering of deer already, and I think that's probably on I-29. I think that's in regards to the guys getting out, cutting a little bit of corn. The guys, farmers starting to get with it a little bit on the deal, but so that disrupts their whole pattern. And so they react by playing dodgeball on I-29.
Yeah, right.
You know, darn near well, they all get together and they'll go, what in the world? And we'll get across here. I bet you can't outrun that Silverado. And they'll make a dash for it. Whop! You know? They bought the Silverado they tried to outrun was from Reed Chevrolet.
That's what you ain't never going to outrun one of those.
Ain't
going
to outrun a Reed Chevrolet Silverado. you probably haven't had the chance yet. Have you seen the 2019 truck yet?
No, I have not.
I'm going to tell you guys, I don't get excited about, you know, I was in that business, and car's a car, and I don't think much of them, you know. But this new 219, it's orgasmic.
Wow. You've been talking about that for a couple of weeks.
I mean, every
you're
time
just
I
have
walk
a hard time getting over
you,
this.
I just slap right against the side of it, and I just stop, you know. Unbelievable vehicle. But if you are in the mode for a new Silverado pickup truck, who isn't? Raise your hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Reed Chevrolet. He's got a whole flock of 2018s left over. He's got some of the biggest rebates that have ever been put on. So this is your time of year to buy a brand new Silverado pickup and take advantage of closeout prices on the 2018s. better get in there. Well, we've got a huge inventory.
Well, not a better place.
Good guy.
To buy. Yeah, all those folks out there. You know, the non-commissioned salespeople, we talk about it every week, but it is such a pleasure to buy from them. There's no pressure on the salesman, so they don't put any pressure on you. The hardest thing about buying a vehicle there is just deciding which one you want.
You know, I got thinking about it on the way down here this morning about, you know, always talking about doing his commercial, but I go in there a lot and just hang out with Trevor. He's such a nice guy. Well, maybe not. But anyway, he's a good guy. And so I'm in there, and I hear people giggling buying a new car.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of times people go in there so intense and fired up, you know, and all this stuff. Well, with non-commissioned salesmen, there it is. There's your truck. There's the color you want. This is the price.
Right.
Sold 22 on Saturday out of St. Joseph, Missouri.
Don't they sell more than anybody in the Midwest?
Else. Number one zone without comparison. People driving from Des Moines, Iowa, to buy pickup trucks there. Effingham, Kansas. Topeka, Kansas. I wonder why.
Well, it's not all just because Trevin's such a nice guy, but that is part of it.
It's writing that check. There's the whole difference on the deal.
Right.
To always follow the money. Have you been fishing?
I have not.
What?
I have not been able to. I've had that dirty four-letter word is getting in the way. Work.
You are down to 39th best fisherman in the United States. She was ranking right up there.
I'm taking a hit. I'll make up for it this fall, though. I guarantee.
What has water temperature done? We had a couple kind of semi-cool.
It's cooled off a little bit.
Little.
Now, Truman has just been good, and it stays good. Hearing some mixed reports on some of the Kansas lakes. Talked to Vic Ertley out at Milford last night. Well, it's difficult sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But he has it's been kind of erratic. Now, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, they got a lot of rain out there, and Milford came up 6 feet. And it's still 4 foot high. And right before that rain came, the hybrids were going crazy. A lot of surface activity. And that's what everybody loves, seeing those the fish hitting up on
orgasmic.
Top. Yeah, that's right. And that has ceased since the lake has come up. And it hadn't started back then.
fish.
Surfacing. Surfacing fish, yes.
Am I allowed to do growl on the air?
Well, it's too late now.
Anyway,
it's that surface bite is off right now, but you know we're middle of September already, if you can believe that, and it'll get back going. And you know, think about this time of year. Summer is reluctantly giving way to fall, and so we're going to have some weather that
very
comes.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, right. But that means some wind every now and then. Boy, you get windy days this time of year, and it can really concentrate fish on those windy banks. So that's coming. So lots of good fishing to have.
I got something that I think you'll want to know about. And if anybody's out there ever wanted a proverbial deer hunting place and a piece of property that is pristine, I got a buddy. He's not paying me to do this. I'm just telling everybody about this. He's got 19.7 acres for sale. The prettiest place you ever saw in your life. It's half mile off the blacktop. It's got water. It's got electricity. It'd be a beautiful place to build a house. And I'll give you a phone number. This place, Mark, it's just too pretty.
Where is it?
It's up by Forbes, Missouri. No one knows where Forbes is, but it's by Oregon, Missouri, up off I-29 north here. It's 19.7 acres. And a phone number, this is his dad. I lost his phone number, and my phone ate it. You ever have your phone eat things?
Unfortunately, yeah.
But anyway, it's an 816 area code, 383-1972. Where was you at in 1972?
I was in high school.
He was in high school. He's just a kid.
Yeah.
You hadn't hit your stride yet.
I was doing pretty good.
don't go there.
What?
Anthony Rao, give him a call. Say, Fred, we really screwed up your commercial. It's not a commercial. It's just a friend of mine, and I just love to own this place. It's 19.7 of turkey hunting and deer hunting supreme.
Is it wood on it? I mean, trees? Or?
Yeah, a little tillable so you can have some food plots for those pesky deer. And it'd be a beautiful place to have a house.
Anything around it?
To the other side of it, that public hunting ground, you know, and his neighbors on this 19 acres are what I call trophy deer hunters. So you're going to have trophy deer in the area.
Wow.
You know? Boy, one of the biggest deer I ever saw was right there. Man, he was a monster.
Cool.
It was a beautiful place. But anyway, 816, if anybody out there wants a piece of property, 19.7 acres, don't know what to want for it, whatever it is, ain't going to be enough. 816. 816-383-1972. That's 816-383-1972. I just told him, he's just such a nice guy. I thought, you know, he wants to sell off part. He's still got, I think, another 80 or there or something, but he's just going to sell off 20 acres, or 19.7, I think it is. But, oh, boy, you ought to buy this, Tobin.
And keep that number.
Man, move up there. Move into Holt County.
Oh, that'd be the demise of Holt County.
One eye swells shut and one leg gets shorter when you come into Holt County. And common sense is gone. Completely gone. So what the heck?
Did you see Curtis Seabolt over here?
Yes.
He's over here working on his pregame show for the Chiefs tomorrow. He does this all night. Folks, if you got to listen to it.
Great
the,
guy.
The best pregame, Chiefs pregame show in town. And Curtis works his tail off to bring this to you, so make sure to get up and listen to him on Sunday morning.
I feel sorry for Pittsburgh.
I don't know. You know, it's just kind of like us in San Diego. We've always had San Diego's number the last nine games.
It's time to change.
And, yeah, I mean, but that's been one of our Achilles heels. Yeah. Pittsburgh spanks us like we do San Diego.
Yeah, bails out. We're in.
Yeah. With Mahomes, you know, you got to feel like we got a chance.
What's the line? Six? Anybody heard the line? I think it was six.
Five and a half, something
five
like that.
Five and a half.
I'd take that.
Beat him like a red-haired stepchild.
So, I don't know. My heart says that we're going to win, but I don't know. We've had a hard time with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Watch. Got a new fishing lure we're going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to have Steve Blake from Truman Lake. He guides out of Starr Creek. He's got a new lure that he's debuting today. He's been getting a lot of requests for this thing. He's catching I got to show you a picture. See if we can put this up on our website. He caught a couple of hybrids this week. They look like they're probably in the 12 to 14 pound range.
Is that all?
Yeah. But this is a
hybrids.
That is not right.
Well.
But it's a plastic bait. Anyway, we'll talk to him a little bit. He's going to be out at Bay Tackle. That's down below Truman Dam today. If you want to get in on something, he's catching a lot of hybrids, white bass, and walleye on this thing.
You know, fishermen are so weird. You know, this pink jig thing, I've been analyzing that. I'm going to tell you what, duck hunters and crappie fishermen are the weirdest groups that there is.
No doubt.
And if you told a duck hunter you wear pink underwear and he killed more ducks, a certain percentage of those guys would go buy pink underwear. And then when you get these pink crappie jigs and throw them in the water, there's nothing pink in the water.
Well, that's true, but you don't know what it looks like underneath the water either. But they see it.
I think it proves to me that 10% of crappie are gay. Would you agree with that?
No.
10% of all penguins are gay.
I can't go there.
Did you know that?
No, and how would you know that? How do they study such a thing?
I read a lot, you know.
Can you even? No, I don't want to. No,
don't go
mind.
There.
No.
Don't you dare. We'll get kicked off the air again. They're probably about ready to terminate our employment here anyway.
Well, gay crappie, what the heck, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being gay, is there?
No.
That's your deal. I don't care. Well, me none, you know. What the hey? Well, we ought to have a good show. We probably ought to take a little bit of a break here in just a second here, but we are brought to you by our favorite guest, Highway Trailer Sales, up here in they're just off of Brighton up here, or Southern Road, 1850 Southern Road. I see Brighton all the time. I don't know why I say that. Man, they're good humans. Terry Lee, president of Highway Trailer Sales. For you guys already cutting corn, you know darn good way you got a broken trailer, or you will have, whether the wiring will be broke off or the bearings will go out or you'll wreck it like a lot of the people did last year. Saw three of them rolled on their tops. Slow down a little bit, I hear farming. My goodness, it'll be there tomorrow. But if you have to have a trailer repaired, I've had so many friends that have gone down there, and I know an awful lot of farmers, they think this guy is the greatest guy that ever walked the face of the earth. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you how good a guy is. I went in there and talked to him about being a sponsor on a radio show. I did not want him to sign a contract. I said, "Look, if you don't like what I'm doing, fire me." And I knew that, you know, a handshake was good enough for me. That's how good a guy this is. Got 10 bay service bay up there. He'll take care of your needs. He knows how important it is to have your trailer back on the road during the harvest. So you farmers that are out there listening, this is a human that you need to know. Again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road up here. 816 area code, of course, 483-3676. And you will get right a hold of him. I tell you what, he don't care. Here's his cell phone number, too. It's an 816-769-3658. Call him at 4 o'clock in the morning. Get him out of bed. Tell him he needs a trailer fixed. I think that's what I would do.
Yeah.
But Highway Trailer Sales, again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road, right across from World of Fun, just west there a little bit. So, tell you what, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're still on the air. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Your guys are
good
this morning, Tobin.
I'm just
looking around the room.
Yeah, a little frazzled.
We got the new bait guy on, Steve Blake's on there.
Steve's on the phone. Steve, are you there?
I'm here, Mark.
Well, good morning, Steve Blake, one of our favorite guides on Truman Lake. Steve, I saw some pictures of you on Facebook this week. You were holding up a couple of gigantic hybrids. How big were those?
I had a 12 and a 15 that day, along with a limit of white bass and some smaller hybrids. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Hey, Steve, now he told me off the air they were 15 or 17 pounders, so these are typical fishermen.
No, one was 12 plus and the other was a little over 15.
Now, Fred, you know what
I said. That's the biggest one I've taken this year.
Wow, cool. Well, you have got I take it this is a new bait. It's called the Annihilator. Tell me about this bait.
It's a swarm bait. Swarm, who's famous around here for their jigs, both the regular swarm jig, the Bandit, which is a 3-inch jig we use a lot for the walleye down in the river. They've come out now with a white bass hybrid bait. It's a 3-inch ribbed, kind of like the ringworm rib.
Mm-hmm.
Sassy shad with a paddle tail, and all indications thus far, it's deadly on the hybrids and the whites. I mean, if you can find them, you're going to catch them with it. It's really a great bait. I'm fishing a 3-inch on a 1/2 ounce or 3/4 ounce head, depending on how much current there is.
Do you believe in?
They're not bashful when they take it.
Oh, I love that. Do you believe in using a colored head?
I do. I do. I think it makes a difference.
Really? Now, what colors are your favorites?
They have a clear with flake, which has been real strong. The white. Now, right now, our water down here on this end of the lake is pretty clear, so those are prominent colors. And in the murkier water, I haven't had a chance to use it yet, but I would say the chartreuse would rock.
What color head?
Either the white or chartreuse with you know, combining it with the proper color bait.
Well, I also saw on Facebook you're going to be at Cody's bait today. Is that right?
No, actually, Tony's going down there to stock the Annihilator baits.
Oh, okay.
At Cody's.
Okay.
I've got a guide trip this morning.
Well, yeah, that'd be better to make some money if you have the chance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a Cody's bait. They will be available today. Now, when are they going to be available?
As far as I know, they're in production right now. I mean, I talked to Tony yesterday. He and one of his friends were up all night getting Cody's stock done, getting it all poured, and they're going to continue to pour and try to get them in as many of their venues as possible.
Awesome. All right. It's the Annihilator, correct?
It's actually Annihilator. Annihilator. Annihilator.
You know,
it starts with an N.
Okay. I thought it started with an I. That would make more sense. Annihilator. All right.
Annihilator.
All right. Well, how's...
It's a killer bait. I mean, I've got some of the first prototypes and fished it, and it works. I mean, that's all I can say. It works.
And where's Cody's at?
Cody is located on the junction of the Dam Access Road and Highway 7, just in between the mile-long bridge and the Osage River Bridge in Warsaw.
All right. Other than the hybrids, how's the fishing on Truman right now?
The crappie fishing slowed somewhat, Mark. I took a crappie trip yesterday, had an older gentleman and his son, and it took us about 4 hours to limit out, and we've been doing it an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Wow.
I think with the rising water, the cooler water temperatures, I think the fish are starting to scatter, migrate into their fall mode. You know, they start to move back into the creeks and pockets, and they're starting to scatter somewhat. That should settle down here in a couple of weeks, and we get that water temperature down around 70, and you can find them a little bit easier than up in the shallower water in the creeks.
Oh.
And we should see, I think, one of the best falls we've ever had for white bass and hybrids.
Oh.
We've got just a tremendous population of those fish right now.
You're killing me.
They get up, yeah, well, you know what they do. You've been down here with me before. They get up in that shallow water, and you can take a little pop or an inline spinner. And I tell people, if you don't catch 25 to 50 fish a piece a day, you have 4 days in the fall down here.
Oh, I tell you.
That usually starts around the first week of October.
Oh, just a couple of weeks away. I love this time of year. There's not a better time of year for me to be out fishing than October, November. I love it, especially on Truman Lake. Well, if somebody would like to go fishing with you, Steve, how can they get a hold of you?
660-525-0692, or they can contact me through the Stirrup Creek website.
Well, and get out to Cody's Bait. If you guys like to fish, go get some Annihilator baits and try them out.
Cody's got a super shop down there. He's got something for everything.
Right, definitely. All right, Steve, well, thanks for the information, and go make some money.
All righty, Mark. I'll get you
talk
later.
To you soon. Okay, Steve.
Well, that sounds like exciting bait.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially, well, you heard how big those hybrids were.
Oh. What are we doing here?
I know it. Makes me weak in the knees.
It's that time of year.
Oh, it's just the best. Like he said, you know, those fish, and you'll get those hybrids in that shallow water too. They'll be right up on the bank. You just think that their back would be sticking out of the water because they're so shallow. You'll catch them in 1 to 2 foot of water, just right off the bank. And boy, when they hit it, like he said, they are not bashful about it. And then the fight's on. And lots of fish.
Isn't that amazing when they're on and that hit is on in your, I mean, there's just no-brainer deal.
Gosh, it's so fun. And if it's a hybrid, boy, they'll take off like a scalded cat. They're just amazing.
And they don't quit.
No.
And you get them up and you think, well, it's about over with. And all of a
sudden they realize, something like that.
Boat and review away
and
they go.
Start
again.
All over again.
Oh.
There's nothing funner.
You know, in the Midwest, it's probably other than catching a carp. You know, carp fight like crazy, too, but...
the best fighting fish there is
in
the Midwest.
In the Midwest.
I mean, a big flathead, big blue, that's a bulldog fight.
Yeah.
But that hybrid, it's the next best, or the closest thing we've got to saltwater fishing.
Big tournament going out of White Cloud, Kansas on the Missouri River today. A buddy of mine's fishing it. Ought to be a kind of a cool tournament. Man, I think it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. It's a night tournament.
Another night tournament.
Night tournament. It's so hot, you know. But those guys, man, they know how to put them. They're catching blue cat out of that river. I mean, you just can't believe what you're seeing.
Man, I just am not familiar enough with the river to want to go out there at night.
And it's, you know, they've got, they looks like New York City when they turn their lights on, you know. But, gee whiz, you know, you get in that current with that blue cat.
Oh gosh, yeah,
and it's
you
got to
have the right equipment.
Man versus beast, you know, they're just unbelievable. Hey, I've been shooting some HSM, ladies and gentlemen. They're our new sponsor here, and Hunting Shack Montana is who they are. Munitions used to be their name, but they've got a low recoil ammunition. And to me, shooting at a target with a rifle is about like watching paint dry, you know. But I've got back into it.
It doesn't hurt so much.
It doesn't hurt. And this low recoil ammunition, I've got it in a 243. And I went out and ground some ammunition the other night. And the other morning. It's put the fun back into shooting sports. Mm. And the accuracy, I'm 67 years old. My eyes are not as good as they used to be, believe it or not. But quit looking at me like that. But... this put it right back. I am shooting dot into dot into dot into dot. And of course they're my sponsor and they gave me some promotion ammo to shoot. Well, them guys hover around me when I eject that brass. I don't reload anymore. But those guys say it's a better brass now. Whether it is or not, I'm not gonna argue with the guys. But every component about HSM is better. Whether it's the primer, the powder, they got Sierra bullets. This company has gotten, and this is their 50th year, so they've been around a little bit. I've never, ever shot anything like this. This is fun. And they got it in every kind of 243, 6mm, 240, 257 Roberts, 25-06, 2257 Weatherby, 260 Remington, 6.5 Creedmoor, which is the biggest, hottest load that there is out there right now. But when you go to Cabela's or Bass Pro, go get you up in a very competitively priced. And everybody goes, oh, my, I bet that's a get a banknote type thing. It's not. They're a fantastic load. They will improve your accuracy. I always tell those guys when I'm down there shooting with them the other night, you want to get hit with a 4-pound hammer or an 8-pound hammer.
Right.
And this is
it makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference. And tell, you know, when we were doing the TV show, and Rob filmed me one time, and I was getting out of my gun so bad, I didn't realize it, because you know what's going to happen.
Right.
But maybe you don't think it's happening to you. But, boy, I'll tell you what, this puts the fun back into the shooting sports industry. And the accuracy, unbelievable.
Amazing. Amazing technology.
I've never, ever shot anything this good. Not in my career. HSM, ladies and gentlemen, I heard Cabela's Bass Pro. You get ordered online, whatever you do to get your ammunition. But and they got that cowboy load now, which is a big thing coming on in the industry. And you will not believe the performance that you will get out of that. In the cowboy load, they got it in a 3220, a 38 Special, 357 Mag, and a 3840, and a 41 Remington, and a 44 Russian. So if you guys are into that, which I don't blame you a bit, that looks like it'd be way too much fun. I've never participated in that. But, boy, stop. Think a little bit. HSM, you're going to love this product. Great humans, great people, and they'll stand behind you 110%. Tell you what, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Yes, we're still here and we're still on the air, so what the hey. We're proudly brought to you by King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com. Today, well, I won't be able to today. Tomorrow, I got a buddy that just had a new something built. I didn't even talk to him in great detail about it, but he had King City Lumber come and build him something, so I'm going to go over and take a look at it. He's not too far there out of St. Joe. So, these buildings that they build, they're done by master carpenters. If you're just wanting a garage out back or a hunting cabin in the woods, go to kingcitylumber.com. You'll be on their website for about 20 minutes. They're fantastic people. Can't say enough good things about them. I've been in buildings that they built 20 years ago. By the way, this is their 50th year, too.
Wow.
Been around for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, doing something right.
So, anyway, these are the guys. These are the ultimate guys. They'll come to your house, look at your site, give you an estimate, to help you design. But when you get to their website, you're going to see something that you like. I will guarantee it. But you can give them a call at 660-535-4337 if you'd like to, up in King City, Missouri, at 660-535-4337. But kingcitylumber.com, that building that I was in the other day is 20 years old or something, and it looked like the day they built it. That's the way they do it. So first-rate lumber, first-rate humans, nicest guys you'll ever be around. So kingcitylumber.com. In the studio with us, we have Roger Sigler, and we're going to talk about antler dogs. Roger, thank you for coming in here.
Yes, before we get started, these two guys begged me to come up and do this program this morning, and they promised me that I'd be on television. Little did I know that this was a radio show.
I didn't either. We didn't either.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
But Roger,
these two guys do this show in the nude.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Brent didn't tell you about that?
No, he didn't. And actually, I'm the only one here in the studio with clothes on.
That's Brent for Z we're talking about. Well, and Roger, just let me say, since this is radio, you do have a face built for radio.
Now, in the studio, we have a dog, my favorite kind of dog, a Labrador Retriever. What a good-looking dog.
His name's Partner. He's my partner.
He's Partner, huh?
Yes.
Man, he's so calm.
You ought to see him in the field. Right. I mean, he just comes awake. I mean, every now and then you get one of these dogs that kind of lays back, but I mean, the minute that the game's on, he's on.
Wow, what a good looking. He's just cool.
Thanks.
I mean, that's good.
How long have you been doing this, training dogs to retrieve antlers?
Well, our history, my wife and I, we were in the dental business in Kansas City, but we didn't play golf or tennis. So we would train bird dogs all summer long, and then in the fall, would take our doctor customers to Canada where we'd hunt birds on the prairie. And we did that for about 30 years. First year we went up, we took 18 dogs and 8 doctors. And so we started in our training in the late 60s. But along the way, I mean, we've trained just about every kind of a dog you can think of, anything from search and rescue dogs, bomb dogs, drug dogs, seizure dogs. I mean, you name it. Okay. There's a common thread that runs through any of these really specialty dogs, you might want to call them. But the antler dog thing, we invented the sport 13 years ago. And today, it's the fastest growing dog sport in the country. And during those 13 years, we've trained almost 500 of these dogs, have them all over the United States and Canada and in Europe.
Wow.
And it's a phenomenal sport. Like I said, it's the fastest growing dog sport in the country. Yeah. And the way our program works is that of those 500 that we've trained, we've taken the top 7 males, and we pull semen on them, and we save it at K-State. When we have a first-class female, we sell her with a breeding agreement, and wherever she goes in the country, we ship semen to that family. They raise the puppies until they're 8 weeks old, and then we buy them all back.
Wow.
Selective breeding.
That's where.
When we get them at 8 weeks of age, we put them into what we call our drafting your antler dog program. In the world of human sports, you would never draft a player until you knew what his skill sets are.
True.
But people buy dogs all the time thinking that they're going to turn them into some kind of performance dog. But the truth of the matter is that there's a wide range and variations of the dogs and their skills. It's kind of like I tell people, if I was selling thoroughbred horses, okay, they all have 4 feet and fur, but only a few can make it to the track, and even fewer can win at the track. And when you're training at a very, very high level, and I'm talking about maybe, and I'll get into a little of this if we have time. My wife and I, we just came back from the National Detection Dog Program.
Wow.
Down in Durham, North Carolina. And this was mostly, there was congressmen there and lobbyists and military and DSA and all of the departments in the military. And the reason we were in Durham, in the AKC Journal, a couple of months back, they were talking about the tremendous shortage of detection dogs in this country. And the reason for the shortage is, historically, we got all of our dogs out of Europe, Germany specifically. But because of the nature of what's going on in the world today, we can't get any dogs, and the ones that we do are not very well qualified. So AKC and the government is trying to put together a breeding program where we can breed and raise our own we're called sniffing dogs.
Oh.
And my wife and I were invited down because of our relationship with AKC and because of our breeding program, and it was a phenomenal program. And the only reason that I mention this is there's a bill coming up in Congress where they're trying to, it's always about money.
Sure. Okay?
They're trying to appropriate the amount of funding that can go into this breeding program that the government wants to develop. And once that's established, I hope to be right in the center of that. And then we'll be training bomb dogs, drug dogs, search and rescue dogs. I mean, but primarily sniffing dogs. Now, in the world of sniffing dogs, we're a little bit off of the antler dog thing. But whenever these dogs, as I said earlier, there's a common thread that runs through all of them. And so when you're training for a bomb dog or an antler dog or a cancer dog or a seizure dog, it doesn't really matter. You're just training the dog to identify an object there or a smell that you want them to locate.
Sure.
And so because of our background and our understanding, and our training is all about science. In the old days, you talk about fear-based training. All commercial retriever trainers and most every dog trainer in the country is using some form of fear-based training, choke chains, electricity, where you're beating up on the dog.
Sure.
When you're training at a really high level, you're never beating up on the dog.
Good.
You're creating a game in which the dog loves to play. And to help people kind of understand, we go to California once a year, and we're working with the top marine mammal trainers out there. And when you're training sea lions or dolphins or whatever, you're never putting an electric collar on them or beating them up, okay? These animals are all working with you in cooperation, okay? And so the way it kind of looks is that people, when they watch a dolphin show, they've been led to believe that the people, that the animal in the pool is working for the people because they just love folks. Well, the truth of the matter is they're only doing their job for one reason, and that's the fish. You take the fish out of it, and nothing happens. With these dogs, what you're trying to find out is what really trips their trigger. Now, most any of these dogs, if it's worth anything, when you're wanting the dog to light up, if you have a pheasant, that's a pretty easy thing for, I mean, a lab isn't much of a lab if it won't light up with a pheasant.
Sure.
But what you're looking for is a dog that will light up over the object that you want them to find, whether or not it's cocaine or marijuana or whatever it may be, or a bomb, the same way as if it was a pheasant. And it takes a very special kind of dog that will do that.
Sure.
But once you find that dog and find out what trips his trigger, then you can use that to motivate them to play the game you want them to play. So
yeah. That voice right there is Roger Sigler from Antler Ridge Shed Dogs. It's hard to get information out of this guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't have much to say, does he? I'm amazed. You know, I know a little bit about this, but not enough. You know, I hope... partner here, is he an antler dog?
Oh, he's a world-class dog, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now, how do you, let's go step A on partner. Okay. I mean, what'd you start him with? How'd you get him going?
Well, the first, in any of these sports, it's always about the quality of your dog. The higher the quality of your dog, the better the end result is going to be. And if you don't have the right dog, okay, no matter how good a trainer you are, you're not going to be able to get the job done. And especially for these sports that we're talking about, not deer, not pheasant hunting or quail hunting or deer duck hunting, we're looking for a different kind of dog. We're looking for a dog, once again, that is obsessed over the game that we want them to play. And some dogs will obsess to the level that's required. And kind of the way that I describe this is that if you were a bomb dog trainer, okay, and your bomb dog died, so you went down to the local bomb dog store, okay, and there were two dogs there. One of them was the most obedient dog you've ever seen. It won every field trial in the country, okay? But when they switched him over to bombs, he was just about a 50% bomb dog.
Uh-oh.
Okay? This other dog didn't even know his name, okay? But you could put him on a leash and walk him down a roll of bags, and he was 100%. Okay.
That's the guy. That's
if your life is dependent upon the dog, you want that dog that's going to save your life, not this dog that will just so obedient to the point where it's not really, it's just working. It's a job for him. So there's a huge difference in these different dogs and how you're trying to get them to cooperate with you.
So not all dogs can be trained to be an antler dog?
No.
What are the best dogs for that?
Labs. As I said, we've trained almost 500 of them, and we've tried just about every other breed along the way, and there's nothing that can really compare. The lab is the most popular breed worldwide, 3-1 over any other dog, and there's a reason for that. They're multitaskers. They can do all of these different jobs. You might be able to have a Jack Russell do tracking, okay, but he's not going to do any of the kind of retrieve work or he's not going to do any kind of water work or any of those types of things. Where a lab is really, they'll do bombs, they'll do drugs, they'll track you, they're multitaskers. And everybody wants a lab because they're not going to bite the neighbor kids, they're not going to cause you any, well, they're probably going to chew up your furniture, but other than that.
Yeah, I've been here on that one, took the leg off the couch. So step A on this dog is to throw the antler and let him go retrieve it? Is that what you do?
Well, guys call me all the time, and they say, I have a dog that I can take an antler, and I can throw it into the woods 50 times, and the dog will go get it and bring it back every time. Never loses it. Do I have an antler dog? And I'll say, no, what you have is a retriever. And they'll say, well, what do you mean?
Well, that's that edge you walk, isn't it?
Well, I say, if I'm training a bomb dog and I take a bomb and I throw it out there 50 times and he goes and gets it and brings it back, does that make him a bomb dog?
Yeah.
Of course not. Okay. There are certain things that you're looking for, but when we get these puppies at 8 weeks of age, okay, we start evaluating them. I said, we call it drafting your antler dog, where we're looking for very specific drives that tell us whether or not this dog has the skills to move up to the highest level. Now, if they don't have the skills to move up to the highest level, they're all going to make wonderful pets. And so we give them away or we sell them as pets. But at the highest level, okay, you want this dog that is going to perform, kind of like I said with the bomb dog, that's going to save your life because these dogs are expensive. I mean, mm-hmm. they sell for up to $9,000 when we finish them.
Yeah.
And so, and they have to be, everything about them has to be perfect. They have to be AKC registered, eyes, hips, elbows, the whole nine yards, especially as we move into some of these government programs where we're going to be providing dogs for the DSA or whoever, that they've got to be at the top of the level. They can't be, they can't have any flaws in them whatsoever.
So what are the skills that you're looking for in a dog like that?
Well, we're looking for five skills, okay? Now, most people don't know, but a human baby learns 80% of what it's going to learn by the time it's 5 years old. A puppy learns 80% of what it's going to learn by what age you guys think?
Year?
14 months.
14 months.
I'm sorry, 14 weeks. 14 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Now, the reason that that's critical, okay, if you're using fear-based training, choke chains, electricity, you go wiring a puppy up and start working on it, and you're going to ruin it the first day. But we can take almost any 12, 14-week-old puppy. Now, this sounds crazy, but we can teach it all the obedience it's going to need for the rest of its life in about 15 minutes.
Wow. What? Okay, crazy.
Yeah. But once we do that day after day after day. At that stage in their life, they're just like a clear map, okay? And you can get them to do all kinds of, like I said, sit down, stay, come to their name, come to whistle. So the very first thing that we're looking at with these puppies, the first drive we're looking at is what we call social skills. That early exposure to everything we can expose them to, riding around on four-wheelers, take them to the pond, chasing butterflies, we crate train them, we shoot guns around them, anything that we can do that is going to be part of life. Okay, we want, and that's all developed very, very early on in life. If you have one of these dogs, in the old days, we wouldn't even start training until the dog was 6 to 8 months old. Today, we start training really about 10 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks, we start into the social aspect of it, where we're doing all kinds of different things with them, okay? And that's critical, because if you had a bomb dog that was a fantastic dog in training, but the first time you took him into an airport where there were 1,000 people in a marching band, he crawled between your legs and wouldn't get out,
sure,
he's never going to make it. Okay, so social, all of that early stuff, okay, is really, really important. Then some of the other drives that we're looking at is how does the dog actually train? Okay, the next thing we look at, we start working on scent discrimination, starting to teach the dog what it is that he's looking for, where he has to make choices, okay? For example, we can do this with 5-gallon buckets or whatever, and it's kind of like the old shell game at the carnival, where the carnival barker will put a pea under a walnut hull, yeah, and then move it around. Well, we're playing that same game with the dog, but we're putting whatever the object we want them to identify under that, those 5-gallon buckets, and we move them around, and the dog has to go up and smell and tell us which one has the object we want.
Are you being able to identify? I mean, you've been around this so long now. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you take a dog within a few hours, days, weeks, and you go, this dog ain't got it?
Oh, you can pretty much tell by the time they're 14 weeks of age, you've got a good idea as to whether or not. And the interesting thing about it is almost any of these dogs, well, you can turn into duck dogs, because ducks, sure, have so much value, okay? We're looking, once again, we're looking for a dog that will light up over a piece of bone, okay, that, yeah, doesn't have any value. It has no more value than a stick to the dog.
Sure.
But when these dogs are finished, okay, you can have a T-bone steak in one hand and an antler in the other, and the dog will tear your arm off trying to get to the antler.
Wow. Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah. You know, that is, I have so many people that go shed antler hunting, mm-hmm, anymore. It extends your season.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, January, yeah, February, you're, yeah, out in the woods, yeah, you know, again, right, on the deal.
Right.
But, boy, I tell you what, this is a big, big deal. You know, we've only got 3 minutes left, Roger. Can we give out a phone number here for people?
816-289-1154. And our website is antlerdogs.com. And because this is the beginning of hunting season today, I know we were going to talk about antler dogs, but I also, we cross-train a lot of these dogs to do blood trail as well as horn.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So cool. For the deer hunter, you know, he has a dog that can do, it can really do ducks, blood trail, and horns all. Now, once again, you've got to have the right dog that'll do all of those. But
yeah, watch the TV show about dogs for drugs, mm-hmm. you know, in right. airports and things. And mm-hmm. these guys were field testing these dogs. They couldn't miss. Mm-hmm. And if they did miss, mm-hmm. they weren't acceptable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't make an error.
Right.
Could not make an error
yeah.
on a deal. You know, I don't know what the olfactor is. They can smell so many thousand times better than a human or something. You know, they just know what's going on.
Yeah. And next week, we're going to be with the Outdoor Riders down at...
That's shame.
our friend Brent Fragi, okay, the guy I taught everything he knew,
yeah, right.
knows about fishing, but it'll
he
be...
He didn't do well with him.
He needs more lessons.
But anyway, I'd like to come back in the spring and talk really about the antler hunting with yeah. the dog and
what the
whole what the whole thing looks like
yeah.
I'm
going to give you the cell phone number again, ladies and gentlemen. It's 816-289-1154. That's 816-289-1154. Roger at antlerdogs.com. This is exciting to me. You know, I love training dogs. I'm no good at it, but I love trying.
Well,
you know?
Whenever you add a dog to the sport, whether or not you're quail hunting, rabbit hunting, coon hunting, it makes the sport.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the whole hunt for me as a dog.
Right.
And I had one Saturday.
Thanks for bringing a partner in. What a great dog.
What a great dog. Man.
You guys are probably going to ruin him.
Probably.
And we do have a
he's never seen anybody in the nude before.
Traumatized. But we do have a link to your website on our website also. Sports Radio 810, Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Roger, thank you.
Yeah, great to meet you.
Great interview, great guy.
You came through the 60s. That explains your sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going, got to go to the Southside Fair this morning and have my granddaughter's birthday party. And then as soon as that, I'm probably heading for the duck blind about sunset, so, or maybe an hour before, so I'll make a good day. So
we're out of here.
Next, this wraps it up for another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. And next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.
Thanks, guys.